just directly copy and paste your card into your contact information. So
yeah, probably good enough into the recording.
Yeah, there you go.
You're going to get an accountability partner, because part of coaching is fast action. This is like a boot camp. So, and I would suggest you. I'm going to hold that comment. Boom.
Somebody outside of our own organization?
Yes. Yes, Lodger. Mike and Matt, no. Find somebody outside, you know, and mix it up. You know, you could start with somebody, and it could be the same person throughout the whole 8-week program. It doesn't matter. But one thing that was really clear from what we know about the brain, which we're going to talk about more today, is the brain's not going to change. Your habits aren't going to change without some help, okay? Right? Without some help. So, well, first of all, I'm so excited to be here with you. We are in the coolest place, and we shared what we created, and everybody went, whoa. Because we were in a place learning how to put all this stuff online. And it felt so good to come back to you guys, because we've worked with a lot of you, and you guys are so awesome, and it's just so exciting to come here and share. This chapter is the most amazing chapter. There's nobody teaching you what this chapter is about. Nobody out there. And I will say that a lot of this is the way Josh has been able to visualize this, and it's cool stuff. So, I'm excited about this. A little reminder, we're going to go back over your vision. You probably just dashed something down. How many wrote your vision? Okay. If you didn't get to it, you've got opportunity. You got more chances here. Okay? So, here's the thing. This is the first draft, right? Take a few notes. Write down this. Make sure you wrote it first person.
Should have a note section for this one on page...
Josh will organize.
36.
Well, this is the note section for that second chapter.
Right.
But you can put it anywhere you want to. You got all kinds of note sections. But make sure that you write it or you wrote it in first person, that it's emotional. It stirs your emotions.
I'm glad you said that.
Yes.
I was waiting to mouth up. This is so emotional. This is ridiculous.
No, Cynthia.
I'm glad.
The more emotional, you've got the brain, the part of the brain that, and we're going to talk about this today, that really drives you into action is your emotions.
Okay. Well,
so the more, woo, this is so fun. I can't wait for it. You know, that's cool. Sensory detail. You want to feel it. You want to read it, and you smell it, and you taste it, and you, like, oh, you feel that surface of that new whatever car you bought or whatever. You're in that new office space or that new house, or you're on that trip to the Caribbean, and you've paid for your entire extended family to go with you. Right? It's big and exciting. Remember, you don't have an earthly idea how to get there. That's good. What we're going to ask you to probably share, and I'm not sure if we'll do it this time or not, maybe towards the end, or do a deep dive. Some people haven't written their... How many? Edwin and Mike hasn't had a chance to write the visions yet, right?
I still have mine from last one.
Have you read it?
Mm-hmm.
Does it work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you expanded beyond that?
Not yet.
Okay.
It was pretty big.
That was pretty big.
Cool.
You mean the billion-dollar company you wanted to own, including the
right.
$8 million mine?
Right. Yeah, that's a small little container. So, part of this is when we get into the ritual section, the chapter is like we're going to teach you ways to keep that vision in your head. Because when I switch over and I start doing a little bit over here, you're going to understand how important to repeat new stuff. We fall back on default. to fall back on our pictures of where we are now. And you'll see around you manifestations of what's right here. What you're creating is not here yet. But that's cool. So there's going to be one aspect, like Josh's...
Mine was like the image of that sort of the office space and having that built-in studio where we can just kind of jump in. And that might be extremely close to happening, actually, based on the last week's occurrences. And it's just kind of like that idea of us having a central location and being able to jump in there and, you know, kind of shoot a video and use that for marketing and anything. And it's the brick look, which we might have to work on. You know, we're going to... There's all sorts of ways
we'll
to get
there.
That. We'll get there.
But this is like your brain operates in layers, and when you give it a very strong visual image, it can tag on to what the bigger picture is. You hear what I'm saying? It's like a short code. It's like a mind hack. Your brain sees that and goes, oh, whoa, that reminds me of that $8 million mine I'm going to buy, and that reminds me of that office space, mm-hmm. you know? So it's going to be a shortcut to that vision, and that's we'll talk later about what to do with that. So you want to be thinking of that. One thing we didn't talk about was where are you in relationship to your vision?
To your business.
To your business, rather. Are you in your business, or are you on your business? Are you drowning in your business? Where are you? Do you have people to help you? This is very important because. We're talking about lifestyle and freedom here. When you wrote your vision, did you write it in a way where you're happy with your relationship to your work and your business? Do you hear what I'm saying? You got me, right? Do you want how many? You're like how many weeks of the year do you want to be on vacation? We just came back from somebody who does Experts Academy, and if it, we can share that later. But he is an incredibly gifted young man. For me, he's young. I mean,
he's
in his 30s.
He's
on vacation 21 weeks out of the year. 25,
25
week, weeks out
yeah.
of the year.
I mean, Jacob Burton.
Huh? What was that?
We have a friend named Jacob Burton. He pretty much does that.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Jake Burton does that?
I want to say he's 3 on, 1 off, or something
really?
Like that. Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
Jake Burton, that started here in Athens, is now in Atlanta and did my first videos for me way back when I was doing my other business.
Yeah, I think that's what his whole thing. He's young and single, doesn't
yes,
have a lot.
Right.
So he I think he says he works 3 or 4 weeks, then takes 1 or 2 off.
That's cool.
Right.
Yeah.
He travels. But that might not be your thing. That might not be your thing. Like Cynthia, I know you've said I want more time with my family. I miss my kids and I miss my grandkids. So that, you know, this is, you have to build your relationship in there, too. Okay? Anything else?
It's good. It's good. You want to share briefly?
Yes. You have 2 minutes.
3 minutes.
Well, I know we started late. I'm trying to keep everything.
I got to shake hands with the magic.
Oh, my God. Yeah, hold on. Yeah. He does
Yay!
Exist.
Yay!
So,
told you he wasn't imagining.
He exists.
Let's get him a chair.
Hey, I'm Mike.
He's a really good-looking robot.
Hey, Chris, Matt. Hey, nice to meet you, man.
Whoa, Chris, I'm so happy to see you.
It's not just a picture you found on Facebook.
I'm about to say. Not a great Photoshop.
It was
Rob.
Not just a Photoshop, Chris.
That's awesome.
Chris, I'm so happy to see you. I
nice
know
to
you
see
were
you.
In...
It's been a while.
Were you in... Where were you last week?
Texas.
Texas?
Yeah.
Houston?
Yeah.
Ah.
I'm going to miss next week, too.
Okay. Where are we recording?
Okay.
We,
and I got your email.
Yes. We're going to send this. Josh is going to do some kind of a place where we're going to put all the recordings and blah, blah, blah.
We'll talk about that.
Cool.
Once again,
yeah.
I'm going to create a resource page of everything that we've mentioned for you, kind of a centralized location. So,
yeah.
And we're going to put some more of this up online, and we'll talk about that for the worksheet today. But anyways, I'll share that.
Just take, just tell everybody who you are and what you do.
Okay. Chris Harris. I'm, this is my fiance. You guys all know him. And I run the College Moving Company here in town. So we do residential, traditional moving, and then we also do contract furnishing projects around the country. So
yes.
That's why I've been all over the place.
Yes. So I am very happy you're here. So we were just talking about creating visions, and I sent you that recording. You can put it on your iPod or your exercise or something. You can hear it. And so we're gonna go. Why don't you tell them what you want them to do right now? Just to,
so basically, just share a brief condensed version of your vision with one other person. How we're kind of just gonna do a pair sharing activity. Maybe focus on this. You kind of ask yourself. Is it also, while you're talking, ask yourself, is it first person? Is it very emotional? Is it big and exciting? What's your relationship to your business? Kind of share some of those things within your vision, too. If you're listening on the other end, too, maybe ask if they forget to mention one of those aspects. If it doesn't sound like they're really in their vision, but it's like a picture of someone else's life. You know, some people right there, I see this person walking down the beach, you know, and it's like, is it you or is it somebody else? You want to make sure it's you. Just take 3 minutes each.
And I'm tying you because we have a lot to cover.
Is this where you want us to pair up with someone from our own organization? Because half
sure.
people here from
sure.
our organization.
Yes.
Sure.
You guys
table,
pair
yeah.
that up for them, because we don't know
okay.
that well.
Sounds good.
All right. You guys want to just kind of assign you guys?
Yes.
Assign
yes.
it.
Yeah.
All right.
No,
cool.
Yeah,
let's go with...
Matt with Deanne.
All right.
Matt
with
Deanne.
You with Cynthia.
Okay.
Alan
okay.
with Cynthia. Mike with Scott. Dusty with Kim. Chris with one of us.
Okay. Who's Edwin?
Edwin?
Chris
Edwin.
With Edwin.
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 I
skipped,
thought I
you
gave
just,
you.
You skip over me.
Chris and Edwin.
You guys talk to each other.
Yeah. We don't know each other's names.
Should we
so
move over to there?
No,
and
no,
get?
No,
yeah,
no,
just
no,
take
no,
it up.
No,
okay.
I'll come.
Oh, okay. And I will give you
three
minutes.
Yeah,
sure.
Sure.
Well, if he's coming, I got to empty the seat.
Okay.
Or are you going to go there?
We can just...
Actually, Alan, you've heard great places.
Well, who are you with?
And you were down when you were there.
You go there. I guess you and I'll be across the table.
Okay.
Actually, I got an idea.
Well, let's see.
We had it down so Matt jumped in and hijacked
it. Oh, there is one ready. We're
going to
get
my own chair.
3 minutes and I'm going to call it out. Get in places. Move.
I'm sitting here. I'm staying here the rest of the time.
Sorry.
Yeah,
all right, you wrote yours out. So you're
all right,
ahead of me.
I am
yeah, well, I did it this morning, actually. I actually scheduled the time to do it this morning.
Oh, that's good.
I didn't intend on it to be so far.
That's
I thought I did it in a way.
I scheduled time, but missed it.
Why did you? I actually overslept because this allergies are getting to me, so I'm getting kind of down. So I kind of looked 5 years, did a 5 year in the future. And since I own two businesses, I own Money Mailer of Athens and I own Classic City Chem Drive, Carpet Cleaner. For my first one, I've looked at being able to grow the business here so that I can help local businesses generate millions of dollars in the local economy. I have a sales manager in Athens market with 5 sales executives who sell not only into Athens but also into Atlanta.
Okay.
It's a big market with about $15,000 in monthly revenue each. So I'm able to grow my renewal rate to 90% from 85%. It's pretty good right now.
You're at 85% renewal rate?
Yeah, if somebody mails with me, they're probably going to mail again. Unless there's something wrong with somebody's business, I can't fix it. Yeah. I can bring you leads. If you can't sell them or you can't answer your phone,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, if I got you 20 phone calls for Gutter Guard, you only answered 3 of them.
Right.
What's going to do? You know?
Right. So, what it's doing now,
I've also stepped up my commitment to local charities, donate 10% of all my revenue to local causes. And I want to be a primary vehicle for charities and different groups to announce what's going on in the community through my envelopes because I hit 30,000 people in the area. So, I hit more people at one hit than the newspaper. I'm also looking at owning a office complex. I want to open the Augusta Market, so see myself driving there. Somehow, I've fallen in love with the Mazda Miata, a little zippy car.
Really?
Test driving one. It's probably too big for one, but for me, it's...
Yeah, that's it.
Actually, the guy that test drove was like 7 feet tall. Oh, no, I fit fine. I'm like, dude, your knee is in your ear.
that's funny as can be. Test drove the Miata.
It really sounds good.
That's awesome, though.
So, I just wanted one, but I just...
Well, man,
I just won't spend the money on it. That's my
problem.
But I've got the money on it.
Yeah,
I've opened up a Money Mailer of Augusta. In that area, I've got 8 salespeople for $80,000 monthly income revenues there with about 10 different zones of mailing in that market. It's a lot bigger there. I'm also planning on starting to buy out some of a couple of the Atlanta guys that get a footprint in Atlanta so I can readjust how they do their billing. They have a different market. If I had control of it, I could really basically bleed them out. Take over. Because they've got like Kim Dry's been successful. I've got annual revenues of $500,000 there. I've got 3 vans running, 6 employees to handle cleaning and office support.
I
need to get personal.
So I didn't have mine. I got mine a couple years ago. So basically, prolific is at the plateau that we set it for to where we're not growing anymore is providing residual income as we oversee staff and account management. It only takes up less than 20% of my business time and the other 80% of business time is dedicated to Southland Organics. That Southland Organics is going to have many regional offices and sales reps all over the country servicing many waste management and agricultural needs. We're so large and our income is so powerful that we're funding more than a dozen charter schools in the state.
Cool.
So that's kind of my ultimate goal is to fund one charter school in the state. So that's, you know, that's like sort of the big goal.
Yeah.
So at that point, Southland's rolling very well. We've got operations throughout the 50 states and we're selling millions of pounds.
Personally,
we've already accomplished our dream house. We've got our 2 kids, so it's just all about having the time to spend.
It's
funny, my own going to be just made less than a month. My own going to be I'm working way too many hours. My wife's got her house and her kids. She only needs me to pay bills. So that's kind of where
I'm going. Yeah, I got you.
I would like to be able to afford my way back into my own family.
Yeah, my wife doesn't. My wife stays at home for kids. We have three. So,
yeah. Oh, yes.
But I'm still in the same house I bought 13 years ago. I got a 3-bedroom on the west side of Athens.
Okay.
And then I've been wanting to do the Oconee County Exodus. But I really even don't care too much there if I can't. I'm like, well, I'll make the schools better tomorrow. And just kind of run for school board or something like that.
That's what we were living in Madison.
Okay.
So you've got about 25.
Long story short, is somebody put it in our head.
Yeah.
We've been in a house for 2 years. We love that house.
Yeah.
But that's, I was like, I'll just put my dad here. School system, friends, from the Exodus, we did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife's happiness could be, but I'll tell you this, I have enjoyed it now.
I quit.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm done today. It's Sunday. That's enough for today. Something fell in my pool. Last year, and I'm like, I gotta fix that. I'm like, damn, it's killing me this year.
So, probably what I should have done first, Josh is reminding me that, was ask you if you had any questions about writing your vision. Did you kind of trip over a part of it? Was there something that was hard for you that we can kind of talk a little bit more about, Dusty?
I was just confronted.
Ooh.
I was very confronted. It took me a while to actually be able to sit down and write it because it had been about 15, 20 years since I've done like a 5-year kind of plan. And then I realized my last 15 years has been about my kids.
Right.
So for me to sit down and write something
that you want,
that I want for me and my family, kids will be involved, I was very confronted. It was hard at first.
I mean, isn't that the way life is, though? When you have kids, it's all about your kids.
They're your hobbies.
Yeah.
But when you've been doing this for so long, and your kids, and you understand your family, and all of a sudden you want to take a step out of that and do something completely holistically different, it was very confronting.
Mm-hmm. Right. Any other comments? Any other sharing?
I forgot the personal part in mine.
Okay.
And so that was good. Cool. When you put that down, I was like, oh. Okay.
Right. Did you write a separate personal and a separate professional? Because you could do it both ways.
I had it kind of separate. First half was professional, and then it got personal. Right. I didn't even get to the personal part when we were talking about it.
Right.
I just got really excited. I mean, I started the more I started writing, the more things were just snowballing, and I was this is awesome.
Yeah. You can see in her face when she was telling me, too. It's funny, with hers, I didn't hear a lot of the emotional words in her language, but I didn't find it necessary because I saw it in her face, in her eyes, her shoulders backed up. She's doing this about vibrating. I'll say she's doing it right.
Absolutely. Any other comments from the ones you heard or your own or your feelings about it? Did somebody go, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was going to come out of my head? Did you go, you plopped it down and then you went, whoa. Yes,
Ian. Yeah.
You know what would be hard is like that we have so many from the same place would be coming up with a vision for this place, you know, for y'all's business and not knowing what everybody else would be knowing. So
you know what's interesting about that? Mike and I had but it didn't even last a sentence, our conversation on as I was sitting down to write mine. Before I finished my sentence, Mike was already going, yep, because we're in the same place for this. Mm-hmm. Prolific itself, it doesn't need a big vision because, and this will sound very counterintuitive, but we're growing crazy fast, but there are no real goals we have for Prolific Target that aren't B goals. We talk about A, B, and C?
The realistic goals.
They're all realistic. We can achieve them no problem. Like we actually end up having separate visions, different visions, but they're kind of interconnected. Prolific is our springboard that's going to allow us the cash flow and the lifestyle to then go do the really big ones. So that's what we have in common is growing this to the point where it's cash flowing well, we're meeting people we need to meet, we're working together, it allows us to work together on our other really big goals too. So I said before I got that in my mouth, I was like, Prolific's more of a big, he goes, he knows what I was going to say.
Yeah. So those of you who've had the TIR, what we trained was on the A goal, the B goal, and the C goal.
I mentioned that last time.
And the B goal is the realistic goal, the thing you know you can do. If you just work a little harder, you can get there. The C goal is that one that scares the crap out of you, and you go, oh my gosh, how can I don't know how I can do that.
But it's awesome.
But it's awesome. It's exciting. And fun.
Not just scary. We don't want to just.
So we kind of said we don't want to use that term because everybody started talking about sea goals.
That's what I thought you were talking about.
Seagulls. But then
you're flying high like a seagull.
They really like the term.
I love a seagull.
They really like the term, so we may go back to that.
Just keep Alka-Seltzer out of the way.
Right.
And rice and all that. Yeah.
So, cool. So, refine. If you're happy with it, you're good. Type it up, get it ready. We're going to talk you into things like you can end of positive rituals. You can put it on your MP3. You can put a shortened version. We'll talk about it. You need to keep it present in your mind because that's going to be so exciting. Instead of pushing you forward, which is what a lot of people think, I've got to use hard work and willpower, it pulls you forward. It's so exciting. And it's scary, but, you know, it's scary because you don't know the steps there. But it doesn't matter because they will be revealed as you go. As you step into the next steps are revealed, right? Have you experienced that already? Okay. Quick little intro about positive psychology and success. Cool.
So, did you guys have a chance to read the second lesson, right? Kind of the overview at least, and get through the key points. This, in a lot of ways, is the foundational lesson because Well, let's take a step back. What is the old paradigm? Those of you who read it, what's kind of the old paradigm?
Work hard, and later on you can relax.
Right? Work hard, become super successful, then, you know, it's like the in a lot of ways, the retirement mentality too, right? You know, like, my life will really start when I stop working. But really, we found that that's not really the case, but on a brain level too, that psychologists are discovering more and more that the more happy and present you can be in the moment, the more quickly the success comes down the road too. So it's like they kind of reverse the order back and got it backwards. So this is what this lesson is about. If we could just talk about the big picture of this lesson, it's how can you be more positive, and not just positive, but how can you deliberately create the feelings that you want to experience right now that drive you towards that vision? And also, how can you shift out of the feelings that aren't helping you get there? And we've come up with a couple of concepts that we think really help explain and kind of tie all of this, the brain level, so, you know, the neuroscience and the psychology, all of it together in a way that helps you guys understand it. So, did I miss anything there?
No, that's cool. And you can read about all the stuff about optimism and the Metropolitan insurance company, how they didn't even hire people that were really good at insurance. If they scored high on optimism, that's who they wanted. Because it's harder to train somebody on optimism than it is to give them the stuff. This is what you need to know in order to go out there and sell insurance. By far, it trumps everything else. Think about when you hire somebody sometimes, okay? Uh-oh.
Yes.
They're the little...
Or fire somebody.
Okay. So this is a review. This is a review for some of you at TIR, and it's a review if you've had a chance to read this. We love this picture because it just like gets it, boom, this is what's happening. So this is called the stick person. And you'll notice that the larger circle, this circle which is reflecting what your mind is way bigger than your little tiny body. In other words, obviously, it's your mind that controls that. You guys know that. You wouldn't be here. And you've got two parts of your mind, your conscious and your subconscious mind. And what you've been doing up to now is coming up with visions. And later you'll be setting, you know, some goals. You already have goals. I'm sure you have goals. The vision comes first, the big, important, and powerful emotional picture. It's not the goals. You're not doing goals there. You're not doing an action plan. But you are writing your vision and doing your goal setting with your conscious mind. Okay? Here's where your subconscious mind is important for making that happen. Bringing your vision to fruition, making your goals happen. You know why? What's here that drives you? Your emotions.
And your habits.
Your habits and your emotions. I'm going to put that in a different color because it's so... You see orange? Your habits and your emotions are what really drive your body. 95% of our behavior is habitual. 95%.
Or
in reaction to some emotional stuff that's going on. Think about your morning. When you get up, first thing in the morning, what do you do?
Go back to bed.
Okay. Right?
That's awesome.
You get up, and my first thing is I go downstairs, I put the hot water on for my first cup of coffee. Well, usually one cup of coffee. I mean, it's like predictable. I get up, and I go down there and put my coffee on because it like it's my ritual to get me like start working. But you have your rituals, and you have the same way you drive home, the same way you drive to work, the way you greet certain people. 95% of what we do is habitual. And it's all here. And it's cool because your brain needs a lot of stuff to be automatic. Just think about if you had to process that. Oh, I woke up. What should I do first, Edwin? Okay, well, I could go get my shower first. I mean, you know, it makes life efficient to have these programs running in your computer. This is your supercomputer. This is your supercomputer. It makes it life efficient. The downside is you've got some habits in there. The upside is you've got some habits that really help you. The downside is you have some habits of thinking and behaving that, you know, you could tweak a little bit to make it a little bit better. So your habits and emotions drive your body into action, and that's what your results are. Now look at your conscious and your subconscious mind. When I came upon this wonderful way of describing these, the rider and the elephant, which one is the rider and which one is the elephant? The conscious and the subconscious.
Well, the conscious is the rider.
The conscious is the rider. And remember the picture? You see how tiny that little rider is on top of that huge elephant? So this is your rider. And this is your big elephant. 95% of your habits are habitual. So this program is helping you take your help your rider learn how to guide your elephant. Just think about something that you get up in the morning and you say, I've got to do that, but you don't really want to do it. Anybody have something like that? You want to share something? Anything you have to do that you don't like doing in your business, your work?
QuickBooks.
QuickBooks.
That's true. Yeah, that's good. I go with that too.
Putting it in
yeah. QuickBooks. Do you ever wake up or you ever go, I've got to do it, but then you find yourself going, oh, I think I'm going to go do this first. I'm going to go do that first. Sure. Your elephant. What was that, Mike?
It addresses that in The Art of War.
Right. So, think of a habit like you want to get started. Like you said, did you make a New Year's resolution? Anybody still make resolutions? Anybody?
Yeah.
You made a New Year's resolution, right? You made a resolution, right?
Yeah.
How long did you keep it?
3 weeks. Well, it always has to do with exercise, so yeah, it's a quick failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that one actually lasted a while.
I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The issue is that willpower is a depletable resource. And there's research that shows you only have so much willpower. And then you just give out. And if you've made a lot of decisions in the day and made a lot of decisions and use your willpower a lot, then when you get to the thing that maybe you chose to exercise, your willpower is gone. So that's what we have to do, is we get to get this guy on board and help your feelings and kind of round your elephant up, or he goes crashing off into the bushes. And the EPS, which Josh is going to get into now, the emotional positioning system, is a way for the rider to guide the elephant. Okay? Is that a good setup?
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da!
Good! So, we wanted to come up with some concepts that really help bring this home. And so we came up with this idea of the emotional positioning system. And, you know, you've all read it now by this point. But, so tell me, what does a GPS in your car do? So then, throw it out there. What is your GPS for in your car?
Where you're at.
Right. It tells you, based on where you're at and where you want to go, here's how you get there, right?
And if you're lucky.
If you have a good GPS, right, and good and up-to-date maps.
Up-to-date maps.
And you're not driving the third world or something like that, right? So, for the most part, that's what it does, right? When you set it, it's always running. It's always giving you feedback about how you're doing. If you all of a sudden did a quick U-turn and started driving in the opposite direction of where you're going, what's going to happen?
Recalculating.
Yeah, right. It starts pacing you off and telling you, recalculating, like, no, this is really where I want to go, right? So, Your emotions work in the exact same way. And so this is kind of the breakthrough and the discovery that we had, is that based on these ideas, and you're going to learn about the stress response in a second too, but based on this happiness advantage, so imagine that when you're feeling these really strong positive emotions, it's like you're right on track. It's like your GPS, you're going on that super highway, and you're driving 85 miles an hour towards your goal, towards your destination. That's what the feeling of excitement, passion, enthusiasm, interest are. Those are like the emotions that fuel you towards your goal. But, you know, like, here you are. Here's your goal or your vision. I wish I could write. I'll never be a teacher. Let's see.
You are, right now.
Real teacher, you know. So did you guys
I'm really learning, Josh.
Yeah.
You're a real teacher.
Isn't this a great visual image? This is like my art at work. So, alright, so there's your little super highway leading you to your vision. Anytime, this is why we don't want this to be conceptual, this concept, right? This concept we think is extremely helpful for you to understand on a moment-to-moment basis, that you always have your EPS active. It's always, always active, telling you, giving you feedback on how are your thoughts doing, how are your thoughts helping you guide, and your feelings guide you towards your vision, or are they, you know, taking you on a detour down Anxiety Avenue? We came up with all
these.
See
that little picture there? We photoshopped those names.
No.
And we started going, oh, let's put some cool names in there.
I like it.
You know, Frustration Farm, you know, take a little trip to Frustration Farm. So,
what's the big role in my GP?
So, at any point in time, if you're feeling these negative emotions, it's not a bad thing, right? Would you get angry at your GPS for telling you, I mean, sometimes it's annoying, but would you get angry for telling you that you're going in the wrong direction? No, that's what you have it for, right? And in the same way, your emotion is just kind of that indicator. It's just an indicator that, okay, right now, I'm focusing on something that it's not helping me, right? It's not getting me where I want to go. And so the exercise that you're going to do in your workbook for this week is just a way to activate that a little bit more. It's always there. It's always running. But we just want you to become more consciously aware of this EPS system. Cool. Was there anything... What are some thoughts?
What are some ways
some
you get
people,
off?
Right. What are some ways that like you go down certain roads that are common paths that you take?
Where do you go to Frustration Farm? What's a way? What's something that gets you to Frustration Farm? Even though that's not on the picture, I really love that came up.
You know, for me, it's we're all such busy people.
Yeah.
Which means we, in order to get all the things done that we've got to get done, we end up having a pretty tight to-do list. Okay, it's impossible ever to get through it, but you know, I think we've all got to the point where we manage that. I deal with it. I push it. I push it to the next day, and we eventually get it done. What gets me is not even the overwhelm. When I really get frustrated is when something derails. Like I don't have time for this. It's when the internet goes out. I don't have time for the stinking internet to go out. It's when something that's truly out of our control happens that derails us, and we haven't given ourselves any room for error in our process because we've got to get all these things done. We're on tight deadlines, blah, 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 blah. And then you have something that comes in that just derails everything. Mm-hmm. That's where I get the most frustrated.
Anybody else? I saw some people nodding. Chris, are you... Is that similar?
Yeah, I can resonate with that. That's, I wish there were 36 hours in a day. I mean, truly I do. Because I just feel like, and for me, I don't sometimes remember that this is a journey, a long journey, so it's like I've got to accomplish everything right now. And so I find that it's 11 o'clock at night, and I'm still at the office, and I've been there since 6 a.m., and at some point that catches up, there is a consequence to that physically,
right,
and in my personal life, you know. So that's the thing, is like keeping in mind the goal and the vision that it's, I'm not expecting this to happen overnight. It definitely gets me sidetracked.
It's, and I think that we all experience that too, because we're ultimately responsible for our results, mm-hmm. right? And so we know we're the hardest on ourselves in terms of getting there. Like when we have a bad day, why didn't I get more done? What, you know, why did I let these distractions control me? Or, you know, why didn't I think farther ahead of that? And none of that internal dialogue
mm-hmm.
really helps you that. That's the thing. That's those things that keep you from finding a solution for it, right? And so, I mean, we just want you, it's not inappropriate for you to have that, because we all go through that. We just want to really emphasize that point, that when you're on that negative train of thought, you're moving farther away from the solution that you really want to achieve. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
To the solution to that same problem. Have you ever had the experience when, you know, like you're overwhelmed and you just, things are going a thousand, you know, miles a minute, you're under that stress response in your brain, which is what we're going to talk about in the next section, and something that's really obvious and right in front of you is right, it's right there, the solution, and you just haven't seen it? You know, have you had that experience? So that's literally your brain going into survival mode, giving you that narrow focus where you can't think about the way to solve it, because you're in that sort of the brain level state where you don't have access to those good ideas. And so it's, again, it's like, it's not bad that you're there. It's not bad that you're feeling frustration. If someone else were in that same position, they probably would feel it too. The question is, the real question is, how quickly can you turn around? Can you go take another U-turn and get back going in the right direction? That's really the question. That's where we come in with the idea of emotional resilience, right? Emotional resilience is not nothing ever bad happens to you. It's something bad does happen to me. How quickly can I manage my energy? Can I manage my emotions? And turn it into something either positive or, you know, get right back on track. Some people, you know, they let the distractions frustrate them so much that it's like they do that U-turn and they know they want to go to Disney World, right, on a vacation.
Their
family
vacation.
But they start driving towards Canada, right? And they're driving like 100 miles an hour towards Canada. Frustration. God, this person's an idiot. I can't believe they did that. It's not helping them get towards Disney World, right? It's not helping them get to their destination. Just it's the ability to manage your emotions and to turn a negative thing into a positive, huge. It's enormous for how quickly you'll be able to achieve your vision.
Very well said. And it's a huge skill to have. And the other thing is, we're going to do a whole chapter on managing energy instead of time. Because the old time management thing is that's bad. That's the old paradigm. You manage good time management. You only have 24 hours a day. If you don't know how to manage your energy, you burn out. Mm-hmm. And you can't, you're not as productive. You can't sustain it. So that's a really key one. I hope you can be here for that. So, and if not, it's recorded. Mm-hmm. Any questions, comments? Yeah. Let's get, what do you think about this?
I have a certain person in my
yes.
in my life that tends to derail me frequently, and trying to.
I'm sorry, man. I just want you to work harder.
And I feel like I'm
yeah, it was kind of looking at you.
but trying to learn how to just kind of let those things bounce off and not take a turn into
yes.
negative town.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard.
It is.
It is hard.
And we're going to show you different tools, too. So it's not just a mental thing that you try to do. So here's one quick tool. Here's one way to do it, right? It's called some people call it the pivoting process. The moment you catch yourself driving in the wrong direction, feeling that negative emotion, you say, okay, I'm feeling negative emotion. It means I'm focused in a way that isn't helping me, right? I'm focused on something that either isn't helping me or that I don't want. I'm worried about something. I'm frustrated about something. Okay, this is what I don't want. What is it that I do want? And immediately identify that. It's like take that flip. Take the tail end of the flip of it. For example, I was talking with someone whose wife, I can't give too many details because I think you might know who it is, but whose wife works in a really large organization. She's a leader and a manager in the organization. And the results that she was getting with her team weren't what she wanted. And she was working really hard. She was trying to do it. They were going in the opposite direction. She just felt like she wasn't hitting her number, their metrics. And she was very frustrated. And so she starts getting on this train of thought. And he was asking for advice about this, about how can I get her to kind of go focusing on what she wants instead of constantly focusing on what she didn't want, what she was worried about. She might lose her job. She was worried if it kept going in that direction and she didn't find a solution, that the numbers would continue to go down and she would lose her job. And that's a big worry. But what I kind of mentioned to him, and I said, look, tell her this. She's not as much on this wavelength as much in terms of the power of the mind. But I said, tell her this. Think about how much mental energy she's giving to that problem and to what she doesn't want. She doesn't want to be a bad leader. She doesn't want her team to think badly, or she doesn't want the numbers to go wrong. Think about how much, how fast she's driving in the direction she doesn't want to go. And then ask her, call that to her attention, ask her. With all of your focus being on that problem and that, all your mental energy there, can you imagine getting the opposite of that? Can you imagine, miraculously, you're just going to turn into this amazing leader and your people are going to start following you when you're thinking about that, the problem all the time? No, you have to, you have to help her see that, identify what she really wants instead. Just say, and sometimes it's as simple as writing it down or saying it to yourself. I want to be a good leader. I want my team to listen to me. I want to find a find a way to really motivate them and encourage them, whatever it is that the problem is. When you experience a problem, there's always a flip side to it. And so one quick way to get back on your path is just to ask yourself, what is it I really want to experience? And write that down or tell yourself in that head.
Right.
And if you do that, you know, even for a few short minutes, you'll start to feel the shift. You'll start to feel the shift where your focus is driving you in the direction that you really do want to go. So that's, I hope that's a little bit helpful. But
so I think it'd be cool to apply this right now. Let's apply it, because this is a new thing. The reason it's easier to control your and get, be aware of your emotions than your thoughts is that you have hundreds of thousands of thoughts. It's very hard to grab a thought, like, oh, I just had a thought. Well, it's gone. But your emotions, you kind of know. And you might have a body sensation, like, oh, I've got that feeling in the pit of my stomach, or my neck is tight. Emotions are harder, I'm sorry, are easier to be present to than a thought, because thoughts are like just millions, okay? So think of a situation that triggers you or and that you don't like that's going on right now. You get me? And share it with the person that you're next to, what it is, and then go immediately to, well, what is it I want? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, Kim, your beautiful thing is, I want breathing space. Was that the term?
Mm-hmm. Breathing room.
Yeah. Breathing room. Yeah. Breathing room. And so, but you could start saying, I can't stand the fact that I'm all inside, everybody's, I'm doing their stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Switch it. Like,
right.
Practice the opposite. Go to the negative first, only so that you know, oh, what's the opposite of that? I'm working 6 days a week. I don't like not having time. That's the opposite. What do I want? Got it? Okay, so go to do this. You can get up and move.
If you need to.
You can get up and move. You can share with the person next to you.
I don't know what the flip side of that would be. Like getting a phone call, getting a text. She can't do that. What the flip side of that would be? Instead of getting letting it upset me, being like, oh, okay, great, yay. I mean, this is our first meeting, so I'm not sure what the.
I walked her to the little baby's bed.
Let me tell you something. We have coffee.
They have coffee here. If anybody
they bought one of those little Keurig things. Did I pronounce it right?
Anybody want coffee? I'll get some for you.
Yeah, no, yeah. Because there's a sample, you know, different kinds.
Just like.
Well, well, there's different kinds, though, right?
Just grab one. Grab the one that's already open. It's all pretty standard.
Yeah, I'll get some coffee.
I would figure out a work deal, but I will.
She knows?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you stay in here and just get Sloan to do the coffee. She's a new girl.
He might need your help with Keurig.
Anything you want to kind of share with the rest of us? Something that, you know, came to you? Yes?
We were just talking about she gave some tasks, and then she also mentioned, like me, a feeling, an emotion that's maybe one I'm not dealing with right now, but it is one that I get a lot would be an unappreciation at times, you know?
Yes.
Whether it's employee or wife or kids or friends or whatever.
Not being appreciated.
And not because you want accolades, but what you've done. Truly done all you knew how to do.
Right.
And then you don't get appreciated. Then it can be so, you know, the only thing I've done on the flip, this is the way I deal with it, is I flip it by just going, sit back and evaluate. All right, did I do my best? Did I have everything I needed to know? Did I do what I thought was expected? So, I mean, I don't know if that's...
Oh, sure. I really appreciate you sharing that. And so... Yeah, that's a pretty big feeling, and it doesn't feel good to get into that. It doesn't feel good. Anybody have a comment, or back to Alan? Or
it's kind of like throwing a joke out there. I always said that if I throw a joke out there and nobody laughs, it doesn't matter, because it made me laugh, and that's all that really matters. Same thing there, you know. It's like, if you can get to a point where you're like, nobody appreciated that. But that's just a bit of trivial information. Ha ha ha. I appreciated that. That's all that matters. Easy to say, hard to do, but that's...
Anybody else? Dusty, you were about to say something.
Well, just the other thing we kind of talk about a lot in the office is that what you put out there is what you get back. So, you know, if you, even if you're not getting appreciated or feel like you're getting appreciated, you know, that is your emotion, how you deal with it, but maybe putting appreciation back out there will bring it back to you. I mean, it's, like you said, it's sometimes harder to, it's easier to say than it is to do sometimes.
We appreciate
you. Tian, did you have something you wanted to say?
We appreciate you, Alan.
I think my question was more along the lines of, like, thinking about this flip, and you kind of think the opposite reaction. So my situation was someone said something hurtful to me, it made me feel negative. So I thought, and I would think in my head, okay, what would I have rather them said? You know, or what should I feel about our relationship or our situation? And so my question is, is that mindset just supposed to guide our actions, or are we supposed to think about actions? Like,
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that mindset guide our actions for what we do next?
Is that kind of
where we're going with this?
The mindset goes, when I make the mental switch, then the action comes.
Okay.
Right, so... Like, you know, there's that advice, never send out an email to someone when you're really angry.
Yes. That type of thing.
It's kind of the same concept, right? You know, you never know, it's probably not the best advice to take action on something when you're really angry about something. Instead, can you find the feeling place and make it, and it's the same for any and all action, right? Find the feeling place that's different, take that switch until you know you're there. You know, you gotta make sure you know you're there, and the way you know you're there is the EPS is telling you, I'm feeling more positive.
I'm feeling better.
Right.
I could breathe. Even, then, you know, the stomach's feeling a little bit better, and my neck's... Oh.
Then the action becomes clear.
Then you know, you have more options open to you. You have more options. Does that help?
So, and sometimes, too, especially when dealing with people, I think, it's hard to... Sometimes that switch is hard, especially if they can be tended to have a tendency to be negative, but... I think sometimes my switch for me in that situation would be, I feel bad about this. I want to feel better about, not necessarily the person, but understanding that maybe they were just in a bad mood at that time.
Right.
Or that I want to feel like their perspective isn't relevant, you know, or like that, you know, in other words, I want to choose the way I feel about myself or about my business instead of letting outside people dictate what other, or anybody else dictate, you know, the way I feel. That might be my first kind of switch. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it can be hard to appreciate something and feel positive about something that's so clearly not, mm-hmm. you know, taking that switch and say, I wish they would have said something different, and your mind goes, well, they didn't, you know, like, mm-hmm. and so it's kind of hard to make that jump. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like more of the, where do we go from here rather than living in the past. You're not living in the past, you're moving forward.
Back to your EPS metaphor, isn't this basically... Like, you know, you've got your coordinates set in, you know where you're going, you know where you are, you hit a big roadblock.
Yeah.
Instead of concentrating on that roadblock and just being frustrated, why is that roadblock here? I don't get why the roadblock's here. It makes no sense that roadblock's here.
Right.
That roadblock is stupid. It shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Why is it here? I don't get it. I just don't get it. Go on recalculating route.
Right. Detour.
And find, but focus on the destination and recalculate
the
route.
Right, exactly.
I want to go back to what you're saying, Aaron. Whenever I have a feeling that just keeps reoccurring in relationships, it's like, okay, is that me? Is that me? What is that me or is that them? Because if it's a common thread, I'm doing a lot for other people and they're not appreciating me. And it's coming up in different places. It's like, okay, what is that saying about me? And then, so for me, you know, I'm a giver, I'm a helper, and I love to help people, and I feel like that's you're that kind of person. And sometimes if I don't feel appreciated, there's a bit of like, what the hell, you know. But then there's me having to go, why am I doing this? And if it's somebody I really love and I'm close to, going and say, I really need you, I need to feel appreciated right now. I've done this for you, and I, you know, oh, wait a minute, are we good here? I need to hear from you that you appreciate it. If it's somebody that I don't have that relationship with, it's more like, well, you know, that's my thing. I need to have that feeling of being appreciated. Do you hear what, is this making sense for you?
Mm-hmm.
So anytime I...
So what are you saying is your flip? I mean...
Well, my flip is, for me, is like, I always ask
myself...
You're
saying you're going to be proactive in trying to deal with it with the person. I'm telling you, on my flip, I just get to a point, because you said sometimes
right.
you can, there's people you
right.
can do that, people that you can't do that with. I'm saying that the flip with it for me is to just not give a flip. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Yeah, that's a little bit of the flip that I use is...
You just got to go, well, that's them.
Yeah,
in my
mind...
To,
I didn't mean to make this a huge thing.
No,
you
no,
said
no, but
we were calling on something that was negative, and it's not something I'm dealing with right now,
no,
but it's
no.
the first
it's,
negative I thought of.
Absolutely.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's like, it's not, it's a very important thing to do, because it's the things, it's the small things that we keep feeling during the day... That it's not the big things that bring us down, right? It's not the big things. It's the small things that we feel during the day that get us. And so I think it's very good that you brought it up. So I ask myself, is that me or is that them? You know? Oh, it's them. Well, that's where they are. That's just where they are. They can't appreciate. No matter what I do, they're not going
to
appreciate it.
Right, that's when you have to go, well, at least for me, the true test of a servant is to be treated like one. And that'll show you. So, yeah, you have to get to that. So if you're a real servant, then
yeah.
I'm not necessarily doing it for the accolades. But,
right.
So, anyway,
right.
so you,
right.
yeah, yeah.
For sure.
But thanks for sharing that. Anybody else? This is a skill, guys. That is like any skill. Remember when you started learning, think about, I was going to say learning to ride a bike, but that's been a long time ago. Something that you've been learning to do in your business or something. This skill of using your EPS is just, I guess what I want to say is be easy with yourself and don't expect a lot. Because if you came from like the family I had, where emotions really were, like you pushed them down. Like, oh, you don't feel that way. I just grew up like, well, I don't have those feelings. I mean, I'm fine. But then underneath, it's like, well, oh, my neck hurts, and you know, why am I so tight? I can't sleep at night. So we've all been imprinted with certain messages that where our feelings aren't to be valued. So just be easy about this, and just kind of play with this. This is something to play with. We're going to keep playing with it during the whole time. Okay. What else do we want to say about this?
DPS stuff?
Right.
Me too.
And it, let me go back to the small things. What are the small things that irritate you during your day? You know, those are the ones that kind of grate you. It's like the bigger things we can handle mostly. It's the small things. It's that one client that when you hear from them, you go... Oh my! Okay. So it's those kinds of things. Those are the kinds of things that, believe it or not, really kind of control your day and how you feel. Go ahead. You're going to explain it.
And what? So these feelings are justified, right? We want to make the point that
yes,
even if you feel something, it might very well be justified. You might have very very good reason for feeling strongly about it. And they might be a real idiot client, right? But that being said, it still doesn't help you get where you want to go to feel like that. And it's still gonna get you off your course on the things that do matter to you. Because when we have these sort of open loops in our head about, you know, it detracts from our ability to focus positively and our ability to flow, to get into that flow state where our best work comes. Because we have this thing that's nagging, right? That thing, like, oh, I can't believe... She did that to me, right? Or I can't believe he did that to me. Or why are they not different? Or, you know, none of that really helps you get to where you want with your vision, right? You might feel very, very like I should, you know, I should feel like this, and I'm justified in feeling. And you are, but it still doesn't help you. It still doesn't get you on your path. So we just want that to be like your determination to feel good no matter what, to be very strong, and to be using this EPS to say anytime you feel negative emotion, it's taking you off your path, right? So, you know, I think the true sign of someone who's emotionally resilient is not that they don't feel it, like we said, it's just how much do they tolerate it? How much do you tolerate negative emotion throughout your day? And how willing are you to do something, anything, that will get you into a more positive state instead of just trying to trudge through with that stuff lingering, right? And we'll teach you processes, all sorts of processes that really make this faster, all this stuff faster too. So this is foundational, like we said.
I love the term open loop because that's a brain term. Your brain, if you have an issue that's always nagging on you, it's you're releasing certain neurotransmitters in your brain. And you've got, your thoughts are neural pathways. You've got a neural pathway about this situation. And if it's an open loop, on some level, you're always releasing these stress hormones about that situation. It depletes your energy to be able to think this thought over here. Woo, I'm excited about this, and blah, blah, blah. It's an open loop. We have to close those open loops. Because you only have so much mental, physical, emotional, spiritual energy. Do you get what I'm saying? And it bleeds it away from you to keep that open loop. And it affects, you may think, I'm compartmentalizing this. You're not. We do not compartmentalize. I mean, supposedly guys are better than females. But on a brain level, we don't. It's there, it's active, ready to be activated pretty much any time. And it takes away your energy from other stuff. So, you get that? It's pretty cool.
Kind of heavy stuff.
Right.
Cool. Speaking of loops, do you want to jump really quickly into the last concept? And
yes.
And we'll wrap up and talk about some of the
right,
stuff.
Right, yeah, we got it. It's already what time?
It's 1:59.
And we're committed to getting you out.
Yes. So the last concept is all ties it together.
Why don't you do that? You're just on a roll.
My bad. All right, so the emotion experience loop. This is when we were talking through this, we were saying how it's like...
It's on page 34.
Yeah. We said, it's like this, you know, you have these negative experiences, you know, you wake up in the morning and you stub your toe or something like that and it gets you off on the wrong foot. And then you're a little bit distracted the rest of the day. You've ever had those kind of just bad days where things just don't seem to go well. So we realize that that happens a lot more regularly than all of us even realize. And that it's this kind of loop where your emotions, your emotional state, well, let's take it on the positive side. So here's your emotion. And I'm not an artist's emotion experience loop. Right? So your emotions that you're feeling at any given time, act through your brain and your body to sort of create the experiences that are to come in the future. So this is, on the positive level, you feel really strong positive emotion, you feel really excited about something you're about to do in your business, your brain is experiencing the happiness advantage at that point, with that term that we mentioned, where it's like that sort of synchronicity where everything in your brain is firing on all cylinders, and all the parts, the frontal lobes, the parts of your brain that you need for your best performance, for your highest level of creativity, those are all firing sort of in perfect sequence. That's what happens when you're experiencing this positive emotion, the positive side of the emotion experience loop. So, of course, when you're sort of at your best at that peak performance, things tend to go really well, right? You know, you have that conversation that really opens up something for you, and that makes you really excited about it. You follow that intuition. You know, the intuition is a product of sort of the subconscious on a brain level processing, telling you which way to go. And you're like, wow, this is so cool. It opened up a whole new world for me. So those experiences then feed back in to your emotions, right? Because now you're thinking about the really cool stuff that's going on. Like, oh, this is so great. I'm so excited about doing this. It's like it becomes contagious, right? Have you ever experienced that? Where like one thing is going so well in your life that you don't even worry about the other stuff. You're like, you're not even thinking about it at the time. Mm-hmm. And all those things that nagged you, like, whatever, I'll deal with them later. You know, I'm feeling great now. I don't want to focus on that. That's really when you're in a really positive emotion experience loop happening then. So the goal, and it works in the converse too, and we'll talk about that next week, you know, with the negative emotions, it works the exact same way, because there's a brain effect that's happening when you're feeling negative emotion, just like there is with positive emotion. So the goal of this training is to get you, you know, and both of these metaphors really kind of tie in together. I hope that you don't see them as like separate, completely separate concepts, that is the more positive you can feel, and you're going to take a test actually this week It's called the PQ test that we didn't develop, someone else developed, but it's a free online assessment that will give you a score of how often you're driving in the right direction of your goal, how often your mind is serving you to get you where you want to go, and how often it's not. And so, and the test will explain it when you get the results. It'll send it to your email and all that. But so when you, if you out of 100, so if no one gets 100 on this test, right? It means 100% of the time you're focused positively on your life and your business, right? That's if you get a 20, it means 20% of the time your mind is focused. We've had people get 20s, you know, and it's not a big deal. It's not a huge thing. It's just a baseline, right? It's just saying, okay, I'm starting here. I want to feed more of my emotion experience loop. I want to drive more strongly in the direction of where my vision is. So I want to increase over time my positivity scores, right? And I want to increase my level of optimism, my level of fuel, the fuel that really gets me to where I want to go for my business.
Is there ever a time that you would think that you could have too high a score than that? Like, yeah. People walk around in la-la land.
Yes.
That's more my thing. I'm going to walk around thinking about the big goal and the vision, and the kid's sitting there nagging on me because it's got a full diaper. I've been in dream world for the
past 10
years.
They did some research on that, actually. There's a kind of like... the research was a little bit controversial because of the way they assessed it, but they, at the time, the scientist called Barbara Losada, came up with a positivity ratio that said if you have experienced about 3 positive experiences to 1 negative experience, that is sort of the peak for teams and individuals that thrive have that ratio. That's kind of like a golden ratio. I'm positive 3 times more than I am negative. You know, people are always still negative.
But to answer his question, no.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, they did say that sometimes people were in the clouds too much.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And so
that
if
part,
it was like
right.
15 to 1,
mm-hmm.
this ratio, then like they just didn't get anything done, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they're like singing Kumbaya with each other and stuff. Like they just never
right.
took action. So, you know, you need a little bit of both in the tension, but the more you can increase that ratio, and in almost every case, I wouldn't worry about that too much, you know, like being too positive. You know, I think that's almost never the case in our situation. But it is a case sometimes where you do have to like do the things that get you into action, and that's what the ensuing the following lessons we're going to talk about too. So, cool. Any questions about that or thoughts, comments? Any questions? Is that not clear?
You're going to take the PQ test, and when you get on that site, you're going to, oh my gosh, oh, this is cool. There's a saboteur test, too. Well, I'm curious about what my saboteurs are. You don't have to take it then, because we're not talking about that until the following week. Everybody has saboteurs. The main one is the judge. And then you enlist the help of the other ones, okay? So, once you...
I wouldn't recommend that you take the PQ test, because it's kind of down a rabbit hole right now at this point.
No,
you mean the saboteur?
Sorry.
So
I took it.
Oh, you took it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, awesome.
It's interesting.
Is it? Yeah.
So go through the workbook pages, Josh. You had the 7-day thing.
I didn't
cool.
say you have a test.
Which
was
one?
Was there
which
two
one
tests?
Take? Yeah, did you take the PQ or the saboteur?
I don't know which one you clicked on.
Oh, they're right
clicked
on the
on
same page.
Oh, okay, well, I took
we'll
that.
Look for the PQ.
Yeah, look for the PQ.
Look for the
PQ. I need to go back and see which one. I think I probably took the saboteur.
Okay, and yeah,
what,
the saboteur test gives you your top 3 saboteurs.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you how strong they are. It gives you a number for each one. The PQ just gives you an overall score. So it'll be a number it'll be a number out of 100.
So go to page 38 just to talk a minute. The exercise 7.
Yeah.
You want to just talk about that a minute?
Yes, sure.
So if you look on page 38, it just says the link to go and take that Shirzad Shamin's PQ test.
Yeah, we will.
I think that's what I went with.
Yeah. It's easy to get confused, too. I think Sarah was confused about the two tests, too. All right, so the basically what you're going to be doing this week, it's very simple, and it won't take you that long, is we want you to set an alarm for 2 times a day. Okay, set an alarm on your phone, your computer, whatever is easiest for you. When that alarm goes off, and probably during times when you know you're not going to be in a meeting or something like that, because you don't want to interrupt your meeting with others. Well, maybe you do, I don't know. When your alarm goes off, you're basically going to do a quick scan of your body, and it says here, it talks you through it. Pay attention to how your body feels, because the emotions and the body, this mind-body connection is absolutely true, and it's been scientifically proven that when you're feeling great, your body feels lighter and different. When you're feeling anxiety, you're going to feel it, you know, or overwhelming, you're going to feel it in different parts of your body, right? So it's just a quick thing. It's just, it'll take you less than, probably less than a minute even to do it, maybe 2 minutes. Do a quick body scan. Pay attention to how your body feels. Ask yourself, what name would you give to your current feeling? If you're feeling great and positive, awesome. I mean, let's write that down. I mean, don't make it up like based on what you think you should feel, what you're actually feeling. Right? We're just trying to activate this sort of EPS system in you. What thoughts are you having right now, or were you just having that sort of? If you know the thoughts, what kind of thoughts were you having that contributed to this feeling? So if you're feeling overwhelmed, it might be like, I have way too much to do and not enough time to do it in, right? And that's basically what the feeling of overwhelmment is usually, right? It's not that you have so much to do, it's just that you have the time crunch, right? And then rate your intensity on a scale of 1 to 10. If it's really positive, it might be an 8. You might be feeling really excited and positive. If it's really negative or minorly negative, maybe a 2. Just kind of start getting into your head kind of what putting numbers really helps us, give us a baseline and assess how things are. That kind of makes sense? Mm-hmm. So you can do that 2 times a day. That really shouldn't take you more than...
You can do it on your iPhone. Timer's off, go to notes. Oh, how am I feeling? Lousy. What was the thought? I just talked to Joe. You know, something like that. Rate it. 7. Boom. You're done.
I want to ask you, would this be helpful? Would it be helpful for me to put this online, like a quick version of it, so you can just do it really quickly on your computer? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We can
because we weren't sure if you know have any workbook with you at all times. It's probably too much. So I'll do that. I'll create a page, and it might just be a Google.
Go ahead and create an app. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, with a hand scan.
I got that.
Okay.
It'll just tell us all it for you.
And
right?
This is where your accountability partner comes in. I want you to pick an accountability partner at the end of the day. Quick text. Did it. Boom. That's it. Did it. Or yep, something, I did it. We will not do things for ourselves. We will do it when we know we have to report back to somebody else. Do you hear what I'm saying? So before you leave today, find somebody that you're going to be an accountability partner for.
We'll stay with the same people.
And you know, like, I'm watching you.
Yeah. We'll start with the very first exercise we did when we came out.
That's just the primary cell. It could be text.
And there's, if you're confused about it, there's more explanation in the worksheet pages, too, so you can do that. If you're still confused, you can always send us a message or call us or something and ask about it. Yeah,
well, I don't know if this kind of ties together. I assume it does. But I think one of the things that I face, maybe some of you all kind of feel the same way at times, with being the forward, goal-seeking, vision-type person, the emotional positive experience and negatives, emotions and experiences, you kind of learn to not stop and actually like live in that moment. It's
right.
Like, on to the next. Because if I focus too long on this positive, it means that this negative that's about to come up, I'm not paying mind to. And I need to be on top of this thing.
Yeah.
You know, find out where that fire is so I can put it out before it becomes a fire kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then vice versa, get past the negative to get to the next positive, and you just find you just go, go, go. Because of the fact that your overall goal is that forward vision.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to find a good balance of is
how
can I live in this moment and appreciate and understand what is happening right now,
right.
But also not lose sight of the long-term picture here.
Right. And that's something we're all dealing with. You know,
5 minutes morning?
Yeah, okay, that's cool. Something we're all dealing with, Chris, and thank you so much for bringing that up, because here's the goal for all of us. We want to be present to the moment.
Right.
Because life passes by, and this is it. You don't know if you're going to have the next day.
Right.
And if you spend your entire life in that place where you are right now, I'm saying I'm a lot older than you, you miss a lot of just joy.
Yeah.
Joy. The whole purpose of life is just joy, being in the present moment.
But then my fear from the business, because you have two different, the personal life and the professional life, is that while I'm enjoying this awesomeness, whatever,
I'm missing opportunity on the business side. Something's passing me by. If I don't stay on top of this thing, if I don't make this trip, if I don't deliver this day, whatever the case may be,
right,
that opportunity might pass by. Mm-hmm. So, and I think being a startup business and being bootstrapped, you understand
right.
the importance
yes.
of delivering and
yes.
seizing opportunities.
Right. Sure.
And
right.
it becomes very much a habit.
Yeah.
When do you say no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's negotiable, what's non-negotiable, exactly.
And what's
and
the most important?
Yeah, exactly.
And this
yeah.
gets back
that's
to your
the eyes on the prize here.
Yeah.
This, and this gets back to your vision. If within your vision you haven't included, I want to enjoy my way there.
Yeah.
And it's all like, I've got to get this amount of money by this time. You haven't included the something about the process.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other one is going to put so much pressure on you that you're going to lose sight that you're living life.
Yeah.
You're living life. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, so is a missed opportunity just the price we pay happily
right.
for the balance?
It
for
can be.
Can
I'm
be.
Not saying there's an answer to that, but it's just like to discover that. This is a cool place to play with that, because we're all playing with that.
And I think, too, my concept of sacrifice is different, too. And a lot of people say that sacrifice is giving up something that you really want.
Your own.
And I don't think it's sacrifices. I think sacrifice is giving up something that has lesser meaning and importance to you for something that has greater meaning and importance to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we only have a limited amount of time that we can invest in things. And I don't like to be stuck reading the news, even though it's kind of interesting to me,
mm-hmm.
or watching TV, even though it brings me a little bit of interest, because there's so many other things I want to do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So it's like, if you guide it based on what's most satisfying and what's most meaningful for you to build, then not only are you happy, but you're working towards your bigger vision, and you can start realizing you can give up some of the worries and the things that don't get you there. I mean, they're nice, but they're not awesome. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah. That's where I think my approach has been, what is non-effective use of my time? Eliminate those things
yeah.
so that I can have both.
Right, right.
Like, I want my cake and eat it too. That's just,
yeah.
sorry,
right,
but that's what I'm going to do.
And,
well,
that's
so.
What we all want, right? In our businesses,
yeah.
we want some semblance of balance,
yeah.
you know, which is, you know, as entrepreneurs and business owners. Is,
let's give them a couple
okay.
minutes to write takeaways.
Sorry.
No.
You got notes.
We'll be talking about this more.
We're going to be, this is a continuing conversation because we're, you know, this is something that comes up. Just a couple minutes, big takeaways, write in your notes, big takeaways for you. So if you've gotten your takeaways and you've gotten the cell phone of the person, your accountability partner, then we're good to go.
Getting clear, like, the vision, if you haven't typed it up yet and finalized it, I would recommend you do it this week. We'll definitely, by the fourth week, have that done. But, you know, it's a good thing to have it kind of in place. And then just this exercise, right? And I will create for you all a page and find the best way to do that.
in my technologically limited way, so that you can just input your answers online quickly. And maybe it'll send a quick email to yourself or as a reminder or a form like that. I don't know. I'm sure that's possible. So. Cool. Any questions?
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff.
Today was a lot. Today was a basis of a lot. We'll be embedding this throughout the rest of the time.
Next week, what all do you want us to do? Besides a little test?
Yeah, so take the test, do the 7-day exercise,
mm-hmm.
so twice a day, activate your EPS gauge in.
And read the next lesson.
And then read the next lesson. Read the next lesson. Okay. There's an article at the end called The Voice in Your Head. Just a quick 2-page article. And just read, you know, read the first, up until the worksheet of the next lesson, up until the notes section. So just read it. Does that work? And we are going to, this week we're going to start working on your CDs, your audios that complement this. We, you know, we had this big long training that we went to, so we didn't, and a big push to get this done. We will have it, hopefully, I don't know if we'll have it done by Monday, but within the next couple weeks. Within the next couple weeks.
This time is always way too. We'll have it done.
I'm optimistic about
that. If y'all are moving, where do we meet next week? Oh,
we're
not here until
May 1st.
After May 1st.
Oh, okay. Okay. So and what time is it to start? I had 11:30 down for some reason. And the last notes I had said 11:30. So are we meeting 12 to 1:30? Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
You can come anytime you want to hang out with us.
I enjoyed the little time ahead of time. That was fun.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Always told
her. Well, we appreciate your commitment and your being here and your sharing. And it's fun. It's just really fun to be with you guys. We really want to honor your time because I know you're incredibly busy. We're here if you have any questions, but we don't want to keep you later because we know that you're off to the next thing.
Let's do it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
we'll
see you.
Y'all have a good
night. I did the PQ thing back in June.
Yeah.
Should I do it again?
Do it again. Because
I didn't score.
See?
I want to score better.
Okay.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, that's good. I will check my text.
Okay.
And
if you want any mentor,
if you have
a hold
you
want
to know, just text me with that. Did you?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Cool.
It's going to be a good one.